pray. Mighty God, we thank you for your gifts, for your mercy, for your strength, and for your presence here among us today as we now study your word together and listen for your Holy Spirit. May these words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of each one of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, as I've prepared these three messages on the three centers of intelligence, last week we talked about the heart and feelings, and this week we're talking about the head and thinking. This is just a random Ed Sheeran song you don't have to worry about. But last week, I told you about the silly jokes that my youth pastor used to tell me, right? You heard about that, right? I can't remember the joke. It had something to do with an orange, but the punchline was, peelings, nothing more than peelings. And then I also mentioned that there was another joke similar to that where the punchline was, I left my harp in Sam Clam's disco. And of course it was sung, but I remembered a third one and I thought I need to share it with you. And it's this, pardon me, Roy, is that the cat that chewed your new shoes? So if you guys know about the Chattanooga choo-choos, you guys will, I know there's some people, this is right down the middle for some of y'all. My kids would not understand any of those jokes at all. Hey, pardon me, Roy, is that the cat that chewed your new shoes? Okay, now that we got that out of the way, that was important. Important work of the gospel right there. Hey, joy is a fruit of the Spirit, right? We gotta enjoy. But today we're going to talk about thinking. We're going to talk about the three Enneagram types that are in the head triad. But before we do that, I realized last week I didn't want to take too much time, so I didn't walk through all nine, but then I realized you guys need to hear them again because you haven't been studying the Enneagram for years and years like I have. So let's just walk through them again. The type one is the reformer, the perfectionist. The type two is the helper. We talked about the helper last week. Helper is in that heart triad along with the type three and the type four. These are people who help compulsively and without thinking. That's just who they are. Their natural instinct is to help others. Type threes, their natural instinct is to achieve, to succeed, to push, to do well. As I've said, all they do is win, 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 no matter what. Type fours, the romantic, the artist. This is what they do. They are longing and they are in their feelings, and they are perhaps the most feeling-centered of the feeling triad. The next three are the head triad, the thinking triad. Those are the three that we're going to talk about today. When I say triad, that's just a fancy word for three of them, okay? Sorry if that sounds too fancy. I'm not trying to sound fancy. It's just easier, and it's only two syllables. The number five, the type five, is the investigator, the researcher, perhaps the type that is most in their head. Like the type four is the most in their feelings, the type five is the most in their thinkings, in their thoughts. The investigator is the type five. The type six is the loyalist, the most loyal people and the most aware of their surroundings and aware of dangers around. We need a lot of sixes in this world. Type sevens are the enthusiasts, always moving on to something new, looking towards what is going to bring joy and excitement in their lives. That is their natural instinct. The type eights, their natural instinct is to challenge whatever's going on. They may be natural devil's advocates, natural bosses, natural leaders often, but naturally they're going to get after it, especially if they see something that they disagree with. And then type nines are the peacemakers. Their instinct is to seek peace. Peacemaker might be generous. A healthy nine will be a peacemaker. But the default position is probably more accurately peacekeeper, because they probably don't want to make peace if it's going to require conflict unless they have to. So again, two, three, and four is the heart triad. That's what we talked about last week. We talked about those three people and three types of people and what a wonderful gift they are and how they show. The helper reveals to us God's mercy. The type three reveals God's glory, and the type four reveals God's beauty to us. These are wonderful, wonderful people. But we're going to move on to the types five, six, and sevens. And they are in the thinking or head triad. Three types whose primary center of intelligence is in the brain. Okay? We all set now? We're ready to move on? We're going to talk about the five, six, and seven today. Last week we talked about the two, three, and four. If you missed that, I'm sorry. I believe it was recorded, and you can listen to it later. And again, I want to offer, I didn't mention it during announcements, but if anybody really wants to help, wants some help discovering your type or just talking about the Enneagram, let me know, and we can do that. We can sit down and talk about it because it can be difficult. It took me several years, actually, to figure out what my type was. I had thought that I was a five for a very, very long time, and eventually realized I'm a nine. So cat's out of the bag. That's me. We're going to talk about the stance and the time orientation of the types. I talked about this last week and with the heart types, and I'm talking about it this week with the head types. So the type five has a withdrawn stance, and their orientation to time is in the past, which is most like the type four in the heart triad. So their stance towards life, towards the world, is to withdraw. When things get overwhelming, the type five will withdraw, just like the four does. But the four does it because their heart is overwhelmed. The five does it because their brain and mind is overwhelmed. You guys ever watch Sherlock or know much about Sherlock Holmes? The BBC Benedict Cumberbatch version of Sherlock, he would go into his mind palace. That's a very common thing for a five, to literally withdraw into their own brain in order to process what's going on. Now, he was solving crimes, but you can do it for a lot of other reasons. Our brains can be spinning. And a lot of things that don't involve weird crime situations. But withdrawn stance and orientation into time is in the past. That is, they're thinking about events that have happened already, primarily. Thinking about what has happened. And so that is what makes a type 5 a type 5 in many ways. And those are the investigators. Perhaps it's no accident that Sherlock Holmes is a type 5 with the investigator as the name. The type 6, the loyalist, they are in the dependent stance, and their orientation to time is the present, which makes them pretty similar to the type 2s. The type 2s were the feelers, the heart people, who had a dependent stance and moved in the present. I told the story about Suzanne Stabile being on an airplane wanting to help this person who couldn't get their luggage into the overhead compartment, actually wanting her husband to help because he was most equipped to do it. But seeing things happening in the moment for a type 2, they want to respond and help. A type 6, seeing things happening in the moment, their brain is circulating what is happening in the moment. They are dependent on the moment and what they see happening, and they are constantly aware of the dangers and potential pitfalls in the air around them all the time. These are people who are always noticing things that are unsafe, pointing out where something might need to be fixed. They may not point it out, they may keep it to themselves, but they're always responding to the world around them. They are in the dependent stance, responding to the world around them in the moment, because what they see doesn't jive with what they think they should see. We need sixes because they keep us safe. No, none of us would ever want to get on an airplane if there wasn't a type six on the engineering team making sure that it was absolutely 100%, well, 99.9999999% assured to get us to where we are going to go. And then we have the type seven. The type seven, the enthusiast, is assertive. They assert themselves on the world, and their orientation to time is the future. What is next? They're always thinking about what is next. The type threes are feeling about what's next, although they're feeling repressed, but we can't really get into that. They're asserting themselves into the world because they can't fathom wanting to do something unless it's the most exciting option. This is by default, right? Type sevens will always want to keep their options open because there might be something more exciting to do. There might be something more fulfilling to do, right? It doesn't have to be a negative thing, but they will assert themselves. Type sevens, you usually know when they're around. They're usually the life of the party. We need type sevens in this world. And why do we need all three of these types? They reflect different characteristics of God to us. So we'll start there. The type fives show us God's wisdom. They are most connected with the knowledge and wisdom of God. Often, type fives can be very quiet and introverted, but often they know more than anybody else in the room. They just don't share it until somebody asks them. Very, very common for a type five to just kind of silently know the answers that other people are talking about, but not interject themselves because, again, they're in that withdrawn sense, that withdrawn stance. But they have so much wisdom, and when you get to know a five and realize how much wisdom they have, oh, it'll blow your mind. It's an amazing, amazing thing. And they show us a little taste of God's wisdom because they reflect it to us. Type sixes show us the faithfulness of God. They're the most loyal. They also show us the protection of God. I would say that as well. But they show us God's faithfulness. They show us that God will care for us by demonstrating that to us. Because sixes are always seeing the dangers, and therefore they're protecting the rest of us from those dangers, doing whatever they can in the present moment to respond and protect. Do you know people like that? Who see dangers around you and protect you from them? These people show God's faithfulness because I don't know how many times a day God bails me out or rescues me. It might be a pretty high number. If I could see his hand at work every moment of every day, I might be absolutely shocked at how many times he has just doop, 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 cleared a path for me. Who knows? Do we know? Sometimes you know, because it's the only way something could have happened is if God had intervened, right? But who knows how many times God is just being faithful, protecting us, showing us the way. It's type sevens, I think I already said, show us God's joy. Give us a taste of the joy of God because sevens are endlessly optimistic and they reflect the joy of God. Like I said, the life of the party. Every party needs life, otherwise it's not a party. So we need type sevens in this world. You ever been to a party that doesn't have much life? Like it's called a party, but it's not a party? Yeah, okay. You seem to know what I'm talking about. All right, so here's where I want to talk about the motivating fears. The head triad is also the sign of the core base obstacle for them is fear. For the heart people, it's shame, because in the heart is where we kind of hold our shame, but in our brain is where we hold our fears, right? Because we see them. And but our fears motivate us, do they not? Fears motivate us. Fears sometimes protect us, right? We think about being afraid of something causes us to avoid something that might hurt us, right? On a basic level. But motivating fears. Fears do motivate us. And for the five, six, and sevens, there is some form of fear behind their motivation. Now, this is something I haven't mentioned, and I just wanted to share this because not very many of us in the room are in our 20s. Anybody here in your 20s? Didn't think so. Okay. We are most in our number in our 20s. Yeah, that's right. In our 20s is when we are most unconsciously, subconsciously in our number because we're, how many 20-somethings do you know that are super, super thoughtful? Or maybe you were, but for the most part, we're living by how we are, trying to figure it out. trying to figure it out. But in our 20s, we're often just kind of living in response to who we are or who we think we are. Maybe trying to figure out who we are, but we're responding according to our number, perhaps the most at that point in life. Now, I think about it, I was pastoring this church when I was in my 20s, so that sounds a pretty scary thing, but scary for you more than me. we can be most in our numbers because we don't know how to grow. It takes a while to learn how to grow, to mature. Would you say this is true? Maturing takes a while. Some of us, like, I feel like I started really maturing once I got to my mid-30s or my mid-70s. I finally started to feel like I was maturing, right? We all grow at different paces. We all become more self-aware at different paces. But often, we are most kind of in our default, in our number, in our 20s. So I think back to college, and I had friends of every type in college. And so I can think about the number two in my life, the helper in my life, who would volunteer to do Greek flashcards with me while I was studying Greek in college, because, you know, who wasn't studying ancient Koine Greek in college? But, okay, Pastor Andrew was. But would just volunteer because they just wanted to help me out. It wasn't like, oh, I'm going to help Andrew out. No, just like, you need to do some flashcards? They didn't need to learn Greek, but they helped me out. The type three in my life, one of my best friends in college, type three, I barely saw him. You know why? Because he was achieving. He was in the chemistry lab, the biology lab, working, achieving. He had the best grades in our class, ended up going to med school, now is an anesthesiologist. All the work paid off. His student loans cost way more than his mortgage, and yet he can afford it because he's an anesthesiologist now. Type threes, go for it. You may wonder where they are. They're probably working, especially if, again, in your 20s and in your pre-formative, pre-self-aware state of being. The type four that I was closest to in college, he became the student chapel leader at our school. Again, it was a Christian college. And anybody who was on the chapel team, we went on a retreat every year. And for the retreat, he had us read a book called Please Understand Me with an exclamation point. I should have known then. If I had known the Enneagram then, I would have known that friend was a four, because fours feel misunderstood all the time, and he wanted everybody to understand him and, of course, each other and one another, and he wanted to understand us. He also ended up withdrawing and taking a semester off, which is also a very four thing. The type five that I lived with in college, now here's where we're getting into today's numbers, the investigator, he would work on his schoolwork with headphones on all the time. And if we tried to bother him, he would just turn the volume up on the headphones so that we would not be bothering him, right? He wanted to focus and work and be withdrawn in his mind studying, because that's why you're at college, to study. The type six, the loyalist in our group, he would disappear when we started to get a little rowdy. If people were starting to do things that seemed dangerous or maybe we could get in trouble, he would just disappear. So he was a phobic six. He would just leave the room quietly and walk away. And we were like, where did he go? Oh, yeah, he just didn't want to be involved in whatever we're doing right now. It was like super conservative Christian college trouble. So we're nothing like whatever you're picturing happening on MSU's campus, like decrease that by like 97%. And then the type seven that I lived with in college, he was just always busy. He was playing volleyball. He had multiple, not at the same time, multiple girlfriends, not at the same time again. Always had a girlfriend, always was playing sports, always was involved in music, always was involved in something else, would always go somewhere exciting for breaks, and he was just chasing whatever was fun. And when we were having fun, he was there too. because he was the life of the party. He was always around. So think about how you were in your 20s. Think about who you are now, perhaps. And maybe that'll help you think about where you're at or what your number, what number you most identify with. When I say that we're most in our number in our 20s, a lot of that has to do with our motivating fears. And for type fives, the fear that motivates, the subconscious fear, again, this is not like I'm thinking about it all the time, it's just what's motivating them underneath the surface, is the fear of being annihilated, depleted, or ignorant. Fives are always hoarding information and knowledge, trying to amass as much understanding as possible because subconsciously they're terrified of being ignorant, of getting a question wrong, of being embarrassed, of being depleted. And so you will get the best research often from a type five because they don't want to get anything wrong, so they're going to get it right. And they're going to work as hard as possible to get it right. The motivating fear for the type six, though, is insecurity, abandonment, and being blamed for things. Again, unconsciously, fear of insecurity. Why are they always looking for dangers? Because they're afraid of not being safe, subconsciously, or afraid of being abandoned, people leaving them, or being blamed for something that they didn't do. This is why they are so loyal. They are loyal because they don't want to be abandoned. People will be most likely to stay with you if you are loyal to them, right? Well, sometimes you just can't control it, but it's a coping strategy to get through that fear. And then for type sevens, it's a fear of being confined, a fear of being trapped, a fear of being bored, a FOMO, fear of missing out. That term FOMO was created most certainly by a seven, four sevens. They hate missing out. But truly, they're afraid of being confined or trapped. That's like the primal thing that keeps them going. You guys think it's healthy to be motivated by our fears? To an extent. And to the extent that they keep us alive, right? These things keep us alive for the first third, the first half of our lives. Because we need something to keep us alive. We need something to protect us. That's what, yeah, it keeps us aware. That's why we develop a personality. That's why we develop it. It's because it protects us from something and keeps us going. But at some point in life, if all we're doing is living in response to some unconscious ache or fear, is that going to lead to maturity? No. And that's why when I read Romans 12, I think it's a beautiful, beautiful image, more beautiful than I'd ever noticed before. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, particularly for type 5, 6s, and 7s. That is what we need, is to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. All of us do. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. How many people want to be able to test and approve what God's will is? You want to know what God's will is for your life. You want to be able to walk in God's will for your life. We want that, right? But as long as we're only following our instincts and our fears and just kind of our default, we're likely to miss out because our mind has not been renewed and our hearts have not been restored. The move for the types 5, 6s, and 7s, the head types, is from fear to security. From fear to security. The type 5 fears being annihilated, depleted, or ignorant. The type 6 fears insecurity or abandonment. The type 7 fears being confined, trapped, or bored. In Christ, those fears do not need to be feared. They don't need to control our lives. We can be aware of them and in touch with them, but those fears do not need to govern our lives. In Christ, who is our security, who is our guide and our protector, we don't have to just follow fear blindly. We can choose to be more aware. We can choose, now that we've named, oh, that's a fear that's driving me, I can say, well, why? And do I really need to follow that fear? Or does God have something better for me? Has God taken care of that? Here's what Christ says to the type 5. Your needs are not a problem. Christ will replenish you. 5's fear being annihilated, depleted, and ignorant, but they're not. They're often the least ignorant people in the room. But because they're afraid, they don't speak. But if you believe that your needs are not a problem, and you believe that Christ will replenish you, fives are also very concerned with running out of energy. Because being with people and exerting themselves and sharing all the stuff that's going on in their head is exhausting. But Christ will replenish that energy. Your needs are not a problem. How many people, when you know other people in your life are hurting and suffering and they don't tell you, you feel bad? Anybody? You're like, oh, somebody who you know and love has been suffering quietly and they didn't tell you, you're like, I wish you would have told me, I could have helped. Fives need to hear this. Your needs are not a problem. If you have needs, just, you can share them. And you will not be a burden. And if you are a burden, so what? We're all a burden sometimes, aren't we? Sometimes we gladly bear one another's burdens, and that's what the gospel calls us to, right? Your needs are not a problem. Your needs are not a problem. Type fives and anybody, Christ will replenish your energy. Type sixes need to know that you are safe in God's care. And those are words you can hear, but to really believe them deep in your bones. That if I somehow go from threat level red in my mind, which I constantly see all around me, to like orange or yellow, will God take care of the rest? Can I lower down my vigilance a little bit and understand that God will protect me and God will take care of me? And the inner fear will say, ah, but if I let my guard down for just that one moment, that's when it's going to get me. And that's when the danger will come, but no. You are safe in God's care. But also, for type sixes, the world can be just so muddy and confusing. There's an inner committee. Type ones, we'll get to them later. They have an inner critic that is really loud. Type sixes have an inner committee. People. Voices in your head representing all different perspectives, confusing you, right? There's like, well, what should we do next? Well, I don't know. There's this, and then there's this, but there's a danger here, and there's a thing here, and there's a, and it can lead to indecisiveness. But the Spirit of God offers clarity. What does it say? You will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Christ's Spirit will offer clarity. You are safe in God's care. And type sevens, who fear being confined, trapped, bored, missing out, what if you really believe that satisfaction was yours in Christ already? Does that mean you can't enjoy life anymore? No, you can still be alive and gift and be a gift to the world. And you can still be the life of the party, but it doesn't have to be a compulsive thing like, oh, I have to get away from being confined. I have to get away from being trapped. I have to run away from the pain. No. If you truly believe that satisfaction is yours in Christ and your needs are cared for, you can become not just a autopilot seven, but a thoughtful following Christ, walking in humility, walking in maturity type seven. I've struggled over the years sometimes trying to figure out how to apply biblical text to people in a way that's helpful, right? To application section, right? Like, what's the call of action? And that's because, depending on who we are, the call of action might be a little different, right? Depending on if you're a type two might want to live out the gospel a very different way than a type six or a type seven. So I hope that this series, and I hope that this time of taking seriously how different each one of us are, although it means we got to listen to Pastor Andrew talk about something that doesn't have anything to do with me because I'm not a two or I'm not a three or I'm not a four. I hope that it also increases our empathy for one another and our own self-awareness. Because the first step to growth is often being aware of all the things that I do, again, subconsciously, just not even thinking about it. Being driven by my shame, being driven by my fear, being driven by my anger. It doesn't have to be that way. Once I know it and name it, we can choose something else. We can choose a better life. We can choose to believe what Christ says of us instead of just living on autopilot. So may Christ be our guide today. May Christ bring healing to each one of us in our hearts and in our minds. And may we not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, you are good. You have given us much. And you have called us to love you with our whole mind. To trust you with our whole mind, to offer our loyalty, to offer our wisdom and our knowledge, to offer our joy and our liveliness and livelihood into your service. Help us do that more fully today. Help us give ourselves over to you. And teach us to believe the gospel, to believe the promises of Christ, and not the lies that so easily entangle. Lord Jesus Christ, heal our hearts. Bring clarity and wisdom to our minds. We pray all this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.